Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to the show. Today is going to be epic because I have one of the greatest minds you will ever hear from, the amazing Aisha Christina Foster, one of my good friends. She has a bomb YouTube page that you all should have checked out by now, or if not, you're going to want to check out after the show. So Aisha, my dear, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. Can I get a hello, angels?
Hi, angels.
I love that. Aisha is so cool. I met you through a weird way because someone sent me a message about your video. This girl was taking a Spartan word and making it her own. And I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. And I've forgotten it. Somebody else sent me a thing. So I actually went to it. And I'm like, No, this isn't, because I know when somebody is regurgitating my shit, like it doesn't take me long. And I'm like, this is actually great. Like I end up watching the whole video and it's like, she's saying some stuff. I was like, I gotta meet her and I gotta hang out with her. She is awesome. Like I love when a woman thinks the way you think. And I think that's how we became like real life friends.
Yes, I know. It's crazy because we were friends on the internet. And then, yeah, we ended up becoming real life friends. And I was like, oh my God, I remember I texted you and I was like, I made it. I am officially your friend now because we are texting in real time now. It's not just over Instagram.
Yeah. Which is rare. I mean, I can count on like these hands how many people actually have my number who I met off the internet. When I was filming a film in New York and that was super busy. And I'm like, I don't care what I'm doing. I got to see Aisha.
Oh, I appreciate it.
And you all about to find out why. because let's talk about this YouTube channel. Like a lot of people listening, everyone watches YouTube. Like it's a part of our daily lives, like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Like that's the Holy Trinity going with the millennials. And you guys, she has over 200,000 subscribers.
Yes.
That's massive. That says that whatever you're doing on your channel is resonating with the masses. Mm-hmm. So tell us how you got started on YouTube. What made you do a channel and what are the things you like to talk about on your channel?
Okay, so I'm going to try and condense this as much as possible. So I've always known that I kind of wanted to do YouTube. It started initially when I was in high school and I've always been very girly and I loved makeup and things like that. And in 2012, when I graduated high school, that was like the thing to be a beauty influencer. So I had all the equipment. I got Final Cut Pro, you know, camera and everything. And in school, people would always tell me because I used to come to school with my makeup being done, you know, to the nines every single day, like faithfully. And I did a couple videos here and there, but it never really gained traction. And I found it to be very difficult because it was like, you have to list all the products that you're using. And for some reason, it kind of just didn't align with me. And I also felt like I have a very animated personality and I felt like I couldn't truly express that. Just saying, hey guys, welcome to my channel. Today we're going to do a smoky eye. Like, you know, I just didn't feel like I was able to add value, especially. Mm-hmm. And to me, I feel like what's always been important to me is adding value and kind of feeling like literally precisely what I'm doing right now. I just didn't know it at the time, but it's adding value to people and being able to talk about things that matter while still being able to be entertaining and making people laugh. So yeah, I had that channel. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't take off. And then I had a second channel where I had that with one of my good friends, Den. His brother does like a lot of, they're actors, the both of them. So they were doing a lot of skits. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a way for me to express my personality because now I can act. And my number, my first goal before YouTube was ever a thing was to be an actress. It still kind of is, honestly. And Den randomly was like, hey, do you want to start a channel together? And I was like, sure. I mean, we like the same things. And we literally got to know each other by filming together.
Wow.
So we had that channel. And then, you know, naturally we just like parted ways. We were like, hey, like we went to LA and did a bunch of stuff. And then I came back, I kind of fell into this depression and he was like very understanding of it. And so we naturally just like ended our channel from there. But we obviously still remained really good friends, thankfully. Like they are really, really good guys. And so, in fact, tomorrow I'm going to be hanging out with him. So our channel ended. I ended up a year and a half later graduating college. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to give my career one more shot. If not, I'll go back to school and I'll get my master's and I will, you know, major in law and minor psychology. That year, my YouTube channel took off because I was in this situationship for the first time. And I was so like, honestly, jaded from it that I really wanted to tell people like, I don't want anyone to go through this. So I started reading about male psychology. First book I ever wrote, like read was like Men Are From Venus. No, Venus Women Are From Venus, Men Are From, yeah. So I was like reading that book. I was like, I have to understand how men think because I can't have this happen to me again. And yeah. And then it kind of took off from there, like instantly. Like I think I had like 1,000 subscribers in a week's time. And yeah, I've been doing that ever since. And that was my third channel. So 3 is a very special year to me. This is my third year right now on YouTube on my third channel. Wow. So yeah. And it's funny because it's like, back in the day when I was, you know, talking about your books and things like that, I would have never guessed that I would be doing a podcast with literally the author of like my favorite books. And like, it's just crazy to me. Like I was telling one of my friends that I put onto your book. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing a podcast with Jita. And she goes, are you serious? And I was like, yes, like this is crazy. And it's my third year being on YouTube. And wow, it all comes full circle. It all comes full circle.
There you go. It tells you you're on the right path. That's the thing about life is like, it may take detours, but in the end, it's like everyone has this grand plan. Like, okay, my life's going to go like this. And then you see like the way it curves. And instead of like fighting it, you adjust.
Yes.
And what you just told us was like, you just adjusted to a couple curves and now look at you, look where you are. It's amazing. She's made it. And I think one of the things that stuck out to me, what you said was the whole situationship thing, where it's like, you went through something traumatic and real. And like why that topic really sparked your channel is because so many women go through the same situations stuff. And if like you list the problems that most women go through, it's like, it's universal.
Exactly. That's why my last video too, that I actually did, from your book, How to Date Like a Spartan,
go look at that video. You guys, even if you haven't read the book yet, and you should all have read it by now, go watch her video. She does a great job recapping a lot of the great points of Date Like a Spartan. It's amazing.
Yes, because I feel like so many people get the message misconstrued where they're like, oh, I hate men. They all play games. And it's like, okay, so... what are we going to do about it? Huh? Mm-hmm. We're going to complain, get on a hate men train. And then what? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I think I love that, you know, book so much because it's like, no, you have to be resilient. You have to understand they're going to do these things, but you have to teach people how you want to be treated. You have to know your boundaries and things like that in order to, you know, survive in this game. Cause essentially that's kind of, you know, what it is. You can't just give up and expect people to just do everything according to plan and exactly the way that you think it's going to be in your head. It doesn't work like that.
It should make you stronger. Whatever you go through, be it a bad date, a good date, a mediocre date, an average date, it makes you a smarter person. Like, okay, this happened to me last week. What did I learn from that experience? How am I going to move forward with the knowledge that this person taught me inadvertently, that I'm going to make myself stronger on the next date with the next person? And I think, like, once you date enough times, a lot of people, like, they hate the process of dating because they feel like they're failing. They're being rejected. Like, oh, I've been dating for a year, I haven't found anybody. So mm-hmm. that means, like, I've been losing for a year. Dating is not losing just because you haven't found the one yet. You're strengthening yourself. It's like I always use the metaphor about it's armor. It's weaponry. It's like you're forging yourself through fire when you go on these dates. As long as you're not making the same exact mistakes, mm-hmm. how can you not become more confident in yourself?
Right, exactly. And I think also the older that you get, you sort of adopt this mentality, or at least you should, where it's like, instead of putting this pressure on whoever you're dating to be like, all right, this guy's going to be the one. This guy's going to be the one for me. And you're planning your wedding and how does his last name sound on yours? you're more calm. And that comes from that inner, you know, confidence and that like self-actualization within yourself for you to feel at peace. Like, all right, regardless of how the situation is going to go, it's not a reflection of my value in any capacity because this guy doesn't see it. Or whatever the case is, you know, whatever's for you is not going to miss you. You have to kind of live your
again,
you know? Yeah. What's for you is never going to miss you.
I love that.
So that's how I live my life. And that's why it allows you to be so present when you are on dates where you're not thinking, is he going to call me back? Why isn't he texting me right now? Why did he text me 3 days in a row? And then today he's texting me late. Like, you're not so fixated on, you know, the fine print of every little thing because you have your own life. You have things that you're doing. You understand that this person is going to do what they're going to do regardless. So you just take notes and you act accordingly. That's what it is.
Preach. See, you guys, we haven't even scratched the surface. One of my favorite videos, I think you probably got a lot of heat for this, but you famously said date men who are providers, which mm-hmm. for some reason is a controversial topic. And it's like on your videos, you say like, look, if I'm going to offend you, log off now.
Please
go to sleep weak.
Yeah.
One of your quotes. Mm-hmm. And I think talk to us about that mentality of like, I want to date providers.
I think for me, this is without question. And first of all, foundationally, this is how I was raised. My dad is the sole provider for my family. And my mom, she helps my dad in whatever, you know, he wanted to do, or she like, you know, was a stay-at-home mom. And that to me was how I was raised. So that was innate to me. I understand some people, they have that desire regardless. You don't have to grow up things in the exact way that I did in order to have that desire. To me, it boils down to science, right? If men are hunters, right? And they are providers, and women, we are the nurturers. So whatever it is that you're going out and hunting, we're cooking, we're cleaning, we're making sure the environment is, you know, the right stable condition, we're taking care of the kids, we're doing all these things, and you're going out, you're making the money to be able to provide for this household. You know, to me, things just get a little bit, you know, weird and different, I should say, when the roles are kind of reversed, you know, where it's, you're not really going to have respect for a man like that if you're splitting the bills with him. I'm telling you, you're really not. Where it's like you come home after a long day and now you got to cook. You got to, you know, help the kids with the homework. He comes home after a long day. He wants to be fed. He wants a meal. And you got to make sure the kids are good. The kids are showered. Then, you know, you got to make sure you're contributing to your monthly bills on top of everything else that you naturally have to do. Mm-hmm. When to me, at the end of the day, the only thing men really have to do is make the money. That is just without question. And that's what makes things work. Also, it helps men's ego to know, yeah, I can provide this home for, you know, my family. And it boils down even to like, you know, natural selection back in the caveman days, right? Where women were choosing men based off of how strong they were because mm-hmm. they can go out and hunt and, you know, and gather and bring things.
You're not going to starve with that caveman over there. I don't exactly. know about little Jimmy over there.
Exactly. And that translates these days into financial security. As superficial as people want to try and make it seem, I'm sorry, it's just basic fundamentals of science, right? Hopefully people have passed that class where it's like you, if you as a woman, what makes you feel secure is knowing this man is financially secure because innately it feels like if we were to have an offspring, you can provide for our family, that is it on a very science level, you know, at best. So everything else, it to me is just noise, like you say. I don't really want to hear it. And I don't negotiate with, you know, with terrorists or people that have, you know, other views. I don't care what their views are because I know what mine are.
Exactly. And I think the way you think is so perfect because you're breaking it down to a science level. But like you said something about men, how we as men date. As men, like I think you had this quote about we chase after young, pretty women.
Yes.
No one says, why is he looking for older women? Why is he looking for a woman that's ranked? It's like no one questions a man's judgment and why he chases after what he chases after.
Yes.
There's no debate about men shouldn't go after these type of women. It's the only debate is on the side of a woman, which is like, no, you shouldn't want those type of men. And sorry to say, the people who are telling you you shouldn't want those type of men are the men who are going to get left out. Like you said, it's survival of the fittest. And the unfit are the ones trying to spew propaganda that like, oh, you don't need all that. All you need is love. You should be with me. It's like, really?
Exactly. And love doesn't pay bills and it gets old very fast. I mean, I think that we kind of experience this if anyone has been in a long-term relationship from, let's say, high school and you're growing with that person. And let's say by, you know, your mid-20s or whatever case, you realize, wait, our values are not aligning. I have an interest in being, you know, successful and being super ambitious. And what worked for me when I was in high school, which was contingent on how hot are you, is not going to fly anymore. You know what I mean? Like you can't pay this in you know, in looks and love and all these different things. Real life situations, you know, happen. How are we going to provide? Like, do our values align? You know, different things like that. But even like the divorce rates and things, a lot of it happens to be around, you know, money. And I think that for whatever reason, it's such a sensitive topic of certain men having an issue with gold diggers and there's no gold to be dug. So I you know, it's like, I don't understand that argument because I always go by, if it doesn't apply, then let it fly.
They can't let it fly because
they're
offended. How dare you not try to dig for my non-existent gold? How
exactly.
dare you want gold and not bronze?
Exactly. Thank you. It ain't tricking if you got it.
Exactly.
Exactly. If you have it like that, you're not going to be like, are you trying to use me? At the end of the day, men have the very clear understanding that beauty is the currency. Mm-hmm. Guys are not walking around like, yo, bro, you think she got money? You know Never. What I mean? You know, so it's like, it doesn't make it's like, and I said this in one of my videos where I was saying the normal question that if you just meet a girl and you're talking to your guy friends about her, the first question they're going to ask you is, what does she look like? But if I'm talking to my friends about this guy that I met, the first question that they're most likely going to ask is, what does he do? Which just shows like our minds naturally think different. Men are all visual, physical. Women, we come from the place of security. What does he do? Then it's like, oh, what does he look like? Because naturally in my head, I'm thinking, I don't really care what he looks like if what he does doesn't align with the life that I really want for myself.
What is he bringing to the table? And the big debate was like, women need to bring something to the table. It was like, she's a woman. You guys are the trophy. You're the one you want to bring home. It's like a man who's already built the house isn't worried about someone else coming in and bringing something to the table. Like you said before, okay. Providers don't care about, oh, she doesn't want to split bills. I wouldn't ask her to split bills in the first place. This conversation is mundane. Like, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
I'm not going to actually go in that bag regardless. Are you pretty? Are you have a great personality? I'll marry you off the bat. Mm-hmm. For the men who are users, they're going to look at that stuff and they're like, okay, I'm a user, user, user. But even the users don't like the pick me because at the end of the day, what happens? Those users become insecure because she has more than me. And no man wants to be emasculated by a woman that does better than him. So exactly. He'll be with you for like 6 months, a year. Oh yeah, my baby's doing good. Oh, I'm proud of that promotion. Next thing you know, he's fucking the hostess of Applebee's and you're crying into your pillow. I have so much and she's a hostess.
Exactly. And that's a great example right there, you know? And I actually got into like this heated like debate. He's like, how is it fair that modern woman, I don't even know why he was talking to me about that because I've never claimed to be. And he's like, modern woman want, you know, they want to take all the guy's money and they want to just keep the money, you know, for themselves. So I guess his perspective was, if a woman wants to go out and do her own thing and be successful and want to be with someone successful, then she should be contributing like someone successful. And I'm like, that to me is just like very weird, because even for me, I'm very traditional as it pertains to, you know, my romantic dynamics. I am still an ambitious person. I'm an entrepreneur myself, but I'm not at a pissing contest with my man, like, you know, who can make the most. And like, this is just where my life has taken me. And so because I'm in this type of role, that does not mean that I'm not going to be submissive in my relationship. And that also doesn't mean that I'm going to be, you know, competing with my husband. And that also doesn't mean that I want, because I can, doesn't mean I want to be paying bills with him because we both make good money. Why does there seem to be like this option of you have to have like absolutely nothing going on, mm-hmm. or, you know, and that's how you're going to get a provider guy. Or, you know, if you are someone that has like a little bit more success, then you're not going to get a provider guy, like literally at all. Isn't that so interesting too, that mentality?
It's wrong. And it's so backwards, because you never know when you're going to meet somebody.
Yeah.
And of course, when you meet them, it's like, if you're doing well and you look good and you put yourself in certain positions, like, okay, I have enough money to afford a ticket to go to this art gallery opening. I can pay the $200 to go in here and look at the art and smooth. This guy, of course, can afford it. I'm not a bum, broke girl on the street who can't go to something like this. So, of course, he sees you there. Oh, my God, I would like to marry you, and I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Don't stop doing what you're doing, but this is ours now.
Yeah.
That's so real. Like, in a city, you know, we live in New York and LA respectively. It's like, that's so real to happen anywhere in like culture cities, where like the internet argument of like, oh, you either just get plucked from the strip club by Future, or you're somebody who has to, like, you know, split the bills. It's like, you can have it all.
Period.
You can be a working, ambitious woman and still find a man that sees you as his queen who he wants to spoil like a princess. It's like, it doesn't change. It's like, there's no one way to be as a woman who wants to get spoiled and pampered and taken care of. And there's no one way in terms of those power dynamics and relationships. Like, okay, I'm going to submit to a man who can show me he's a real man in the traditional sense of, I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to put a roof over my head. I'm going to make sure everything's taken care of. Don't even worry about it. Of course, as a woman, you submit to that. Like, I think a lot of people want to hold on to this fear of like, I got to make sure I have my own, because what if he wants to leave me and take away from me? You're living in fear if that's the top thing you think about when it comes to getting spoiled. If I say, oh, find a man that can provide for you, and your first thought is, Gio, they may take everything from me. You're living in a fear-based mind, and a fear-based mind will never manifest a happy ending.
Exactly. That is so true, especially because at the end of the day, you know, the majority, I think it's safe to say, of women are not going to be, you know, always entrepreneurs. Like, being a mother is a complete job within itself. Being a stay-at-home anything is a complete job, where you can nurture, you know, your hobbies and things that you want to do. Regardless of whether you are that type of individual, a stay-at-home mom, or whether you are, you know, entrepreneurial, you have entrepreneurial aspirations, at the end of the day, we both still want the same thing. I still want a guy to be able to provide. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not an either or thing for me. And nor do I have this like very dominant like perception, or, you know, masculine perception of like, oh, no one's going to tell me what to do because I make my own money, all these different types of things. I think people look at it so black and white, like, oh, if you have your own thing going for you, that's like a guy. So you might as well be contributing, you know, like a guy too. And I don't know, there's just like so many different types of men that exist these days with these distorted perceptions, you know, of, okay, well, what are you bringing to the table and stuff like that? Like, your beauty's gonna, you know, fade. And then what do you have? Then we're off to the next younger thing. And I'm like, okay, so then you just proved my point that beauty still is currency.
Yeah.
If you're going to still go after the next hot young thing, and apparently my value that I have to add in that argument is I have to what, add money and stuff like that. So what, that's going to preclude you from going and chasing after the next young hot thing. Is that what that's going to do? It doesn't make sense. So money is not the issue as it pertains to what a guy really desires out of a woman, because how does that soothe his ego? We're both going half on this. So what? You don't feel stupid for something? Like, what's going on here?
It's the insecurity. It's the lack of money. If a man debates you on this issue, A, he has no money. He can't bring that to the table. Right. He's trying to soften the blow and say, hey, I'm still a good guy. You should still give me a chance, even though I can't do that for you. If you want to say that, bro. Why go around the block about this big thing about money and your theory on paying bills? It's like, just say you don't have it. Why are we talking? Like, just say you don't have any money. It's okay. There are droves of women who will date you because if you don't have them, it's not, you're gonna find a pick me out here that's gonna happily take care of you.
Thank you. And let's place an emphasis on that. Like, this is the thing that guys need to understand. You really don't have to lie to us like that. My issue is when guys want to go after a particular woman and they want to just like erode at everything that they are and break them down to make them want whatever it is that they desire. And it's like, seriously, go find whatever it is that you're looking for. 'Cause I'm not her. Thank you. So yeah. I don't understand why certain guys are like that, where they just want to break you down to try and get you to cower to whatever it is that they want, when you can just always go find. That's why even guys, when you meet them and it's like, I'm not really looking for anything. There's no point in lying about that, because someone's going to think that they can change your mind anyways. You don't need to lie.
Be honest. That's one of the last things I wrote on the site was all about, is called I Just Want to Fuck. And it basically was a metaphor for men need to do exactly what you're saying. Just be honest about your intentions and about what you bring to the table and what you have. It's like when you just play these games, like, okay, I'm going to basically pretend to fall in love with this woman for 3 months, because Steve Harvey says 90 days, maybe she sticks to that. I'll play that game for 90 days. I'll get the pussy and I'm out. And it's like, bro, why waste your time and her time just for sex?
Yeah, I think that honestly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that also stems down to ego. I know that is also controversial within itself, where people are like, okay, but people are going to do whatever they want to do regardless. A guy can sleep with you on the first day and you guys become a couple, and a guy can wait long for 3 months and still ghost you. You know what I mean? But my answer to that would be, okay, but usually guys are not usually going to want to walk away from something that they've really invested in. So it's, how was the time spent? If you guys spent 3 months barely going out, barely doing anything, then yeah, he could wait. It was no skin off his neck. He didn't have to put in any effort. But if it was effort fully given an investment, that's what an investment is, you know, a little bit of a sacrifice, then he's not going to just walk away from that investment. That's the difference. And that's what I feel like people don't get, because they just feel like, oh, that doesn't have to be the case. Like, people can still do whatever it is that they want. Okay, but now we're getting into anomalies. And why are we talking about anomalies?
Exactly.
What are we doing here?
Let the record state that I love Aisha Christina, because she just eloquently summed up what I wrote about in like three of my books, from Solving Single to Date Like a Spartan to Whole Tactics. Even in Whole Tactics, I talk about this a lot. Investment in time. How are you spending that time? How many times have I told all of you who are listening to this, it's not about the time put in, it's the effort and the energy. Mm-hmm. And I think I even broke down like four ways to know that he's testing and like he's wasting your time or he's investing his time in you, because there are specific things you should look at. And know what happens these days? It's like, oh, he texts me good morning. That's his investment.
Yeah.
He FaceTimed me before bed. That's an investment. Really?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Whenever you experience something, and I think you've mentioned this in one of your articles, when you experience behavior that is like very flattering and impressive that you've never experienced before, that translates to you as effort. And it's like, oh my God, this guy's so different. He's been texting me consistently every day for literally 2 weeks. No guy has ever done that to me before. Obviously he's different. Then you let all your guard down and you feel like for some reason you could just relax and coast. And then everything that you initially wanted to, your boundaries and stuff, everything just falls by the wayside because you feel like that was the threshold of how much needed to be proven, you know? So that really just is contingent on, I guess, a person to person's, you know, experience and what they have, you know, tolerated or whatever in their dating history. But after a while, and when you have more experience and you've kind of seen it all, you're just like, all right, I still need to see more. And you should be able to definitively differentiate again, what is true effort versus him just being buzzing in your ear for 3 months straight and you just looking at the time and going, well, it's been 3 months. Like,
he's just growing on you. He's
exactly.
Like, here's what I hear, Asia, a lot of times. It's, I really didn't like him at first, but he grew on me. And I'm like, there's never in my history of dating that I met a woman who I, A, didn't like at first and still dated.
Right.
And then, I mean, you can like him physically, but not like him emotionally. Like, that's a different story. But like, there's no woman I like, I'm going to spend that much time, like, give him a chance. Like, you're not going to grow on me. There's no such thing as for a man, you're not going to grow on me.
Right.
It's like, either I'm smitten by you from the jump or I'm not. There's no growing.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know. I think it's a societal thing where we as women are kind of taught to, I guess, feel like, oh, I feel bad for kind of, you know, rejecting this guy. Like, let me at least give him a chance because he's doing all the right things. And let me just see where it goes, even though I know my heart's not in it. And those situations, a lot of the times end up being your biggest heartbreak because it's like you initially weren't even going, you know, to even engage with that person, but because they, you know, kind of drew you in by, I guess, you wanting to pity for them, then you end up screwing yourself because then you get feelings involved. And now you're approaching it from the standpoint of, all right, well, I guess I could just like get with him now because I feel like, I mean, I know he likes me. He's the one that liked me first. And you know what I mean? And then that becomes the gauge as opposed to, but do I really like him? Like, that's the question I feel like we really don't ask ourselves because we're so focused on being liked that we're not fixating on, do I like you? Because I know you like me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I know you.
The security of he likes me more than I like him is a mirage. Mm-hmm. He likes you right now more than you like him. Exactly. But what happens when a man gets comfortable and he like, okay, he's love bombing you. And he's showering you with all this stuff, like you said, that you maybe have never felt before. And he attains you. He captures that prize.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? He neglects that prize. And then he goes off and he does something stupid. And or maybe he like starts to act distant. And now you're like heartbroken over a guy you never really wanted. And those are the emails that always bother me the most because it's like you purposely chose a man who did not check off most of your boxes other than like he's nice, he's nice and sweet, more he's nicer and sweeter than my ex was. That's the only box he checked off. And now you're in my inbox crying about, oh, GL, he's not even that cute and he's broke and he had the audacity to cheat on me with another woman. He should have been. I'm like, he suckered you into thinking that you were his ultimate prize, and then he got what he wanted. And he showed you his true colors. So no fall for that mistake of like, oh, I want a man that likes me more than I like him. It's like, there's so many other things to hold your hat on than that.
I remember I dated this guy once and he told me, he goes, no guy takes a woman seriously under the age of at least 25, 27. And I remember when I heard that, I was like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That doesn't make any sense. But I feel like I'm here reporting that I think that may be, you know, kind of true in those ages before your like frontal lobe is fully developed. Right. So when you're growing and you're meeting these different types of guys, I think it takes that experience to be able to gauge what you will and will not be, you know, tolerate as it pertains to dating. It really does take that experience. Yes. Guys play games, honestly, no matter what age you are, but I do feel like with your age should come maturity. And there is something to be said about dating in your, you know, middle to later 20s, because you approach dating so different than you do when you were, you know, 24 and younger, because you're so fixated on like, oh my God, he likes, you know, riding motorcycles. Me too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everything is like me too. And, you know, and this is one of the best things that this guy that I dated said, the one that I was in the off and on really situationship with, he said, you know, because he was married at one point, and he said that his wife basically pretended the entire time that they were, you know, dating and stuff, that she was interested in what he was interested in. And on his honeymoon at the time, because he goes through different phases of liking things, he was very into scuba diving, and they went on their honeymoon and she wanted to go shopping instead. And he was like, okay, that's fine, but can we do that after? Because like the clarity in the water is like really pristine. Like, we should go now. Like, now's a good time. And she was like, oh, then I'll just like meet you after. And he said he felt intuitively like, wait a second. Like, I think I literally made a mistake. And he said he regretted it. They're divorced now, but he regretted it for so long. But by then, what are you going to do? Get divorced? You've been married for hours a day. Like, you know? And he said, a lot of the time, women always pretend to be interested in what a guy is interested in to get him to like her, to like bond and things like that. And that right then and there, I was 23 when he said this, really just said to me, all right, no.
Yeah,
you don't like something. You like gaming. I don't. I'm gonna be honest. You like sports. You want to watch football on Sundays. I'm not a huge sports fan. Like, I can't pretend. Oh, go Lakers. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't. I'm not going to pretend to get on the bandwagon with you, because that's not to say I won't try something, but I'm not going to pretend to be as into it as you are, because I just want to relate to you so bad. I want to bond with you.
Oh, that's a major key. That is a major key, because I had this term called the cool girl. You hear what men like and you try to become that cool girl because you don't get brownie points. And it does work, because I think I was watching some Love is Blind, Temptation Island, and the girl was like playing that game. And he's like, oh my God, I never met a girl who liked the Chicago Bears. Bro, ask Sarah who the quarterback is right now. It's like, he doesn't care, because in that moment, he's like, oh my God, you like what I like. And it does work to a certain extent, but it, like, it eventually crumbles, because you can't keep up the charade in the long
term. Yes, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. Pretending to be someone else to get what you want is not sustainable. The real you is going to come out. The adversity that you're avoiding facing is now upon you. Mm-hmm. Like, all we're doing is just prolonging the process. So that's why, to me, there's no sense in pretending to be anything in order to get someone, because it's not sustainable. And that's for both men and women. You know, our true intentions and desires are going to show up regardless. Mm. It's human nature.
See, didn't I tell you guys she's brilliant? Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. You said nice girls don't make history.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
When did you figure out that mindset that nice girls don't make history and men don't respect nice girls?
Honestly, I feel like I really fully started to draw that conclusion in the past 2 years of my life. Every year I have like a theme of my life. And I really felt very strongly that this year, one of the themes was, you know, authenticity. This has been for the past year and a half. Me really showing up, speaking up, if I don't agree with something, I don't like something, it doesn't mean be, you know, nasty about it. It just means vocalize it. Open up that, you know, throat chakra, right? And say what it is that you want to say, say what it is that you mean. And I have found it to be so tremendously rewarding in all aspects of my life, because, you know, anytime we find ourselves like, you know, blocking and you know, holding back what it is that we want to say, when they are things that we should say and address, those are important conversations that we need to have. And the more you start to do that, that ties into your intuition. You'll feel an inner nudge to do something and talk yourself out of it. That translates into you being in a relationship with somebody or talking to someone. And maybe you don't have definitive proof that they're like up to something, but you haven't strengthened that muscle of listening to your inner voice and vocalizing how it is that you feel. So you just let things slide. And then that cycles within itself. And then you end up unconvincing yourself of things that you honestly feel and that you even see. And then you end up being someone that, you know, gets run over, you know, never speaks their opinion. And internally you become very self-loathing. And if you're even more lost, you can't figure out why you're just so miserable.
How do you even flip that switch? Is it like, is it moment by moment, or is it just like you said, you just take a stand, like, you know what, no more of allowing this to happen, no more not speaking up? Or is it like in the moment you're like, you know what, no, I'm not going to take this time?
It starts, like, honestly, the easiest way to make anything palatable is to get granular. So for me, it's like, all right, I remember the first time I made this decision, I was dating this guy. And he didn't even really he did nothing to me. There was no drama, no nothing. I just knew I didn't like him. He did something that like kind of upset me. I don't even remember what it was. We went out to dinner and the waitress came by and asked if we wanted anything else. And he goes, no, that's fine. We'll just take the check. And that like offended me because one, I like dessert, I like sweets. And instead of just simply asking me like, hey, what is it that, you know, that you, do you want anything else before it? Like to me, that spoke for his character. And my intuition was like, it really just like hit my intuition for some reason where I'm like, okay, now I'm gonna start paying attention to his character because that's weird. Like if you're on a date with somebody, it should be natural to you to be like, hey, are you good? Are you okay? What is it you want? So long story short, that was the first thing that I clocked that he did. He ended up doing something else that, and I was done. I said, you know what? I've seen all that I needed to see. I don't need to let this, you know, get so detrimental where I'm like, I have a million things to say and whatever the case, I don't want to have to do that. You know what I mean? I've seen all that I needed to see. And I said to myself, okay, Aisha, if you can let this situation go and it didn't have to be this big drama, it didn't have to be catastrophic. This is the start of you choosing yourself in these types of dynamics. A lot of the times we feel like so much drama and different situations have to happen in order for us to be done with a guy. You know, you got to get into a massive fight. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't, it just simply doesn't work, and be okay with that. Why do we have to be so drawn to drama where it's like something crazy has to happen for us to really stop talking? Like, no, it did. And ever since then, me making that one decision with someone who barely did really anything to me, no like deep emotional, like anything, that was the start of me saying, all right, now it gets easier. So now as I started approaching my dating life, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, no, this doesn't work for me. That's really, and it really does get easier. It's a muscle. You have to, you know, practice, you know, makes perfect in these types of things. When you start making simple decisions for yourself and not making decisions out of like, you know, desperation and boredom, it really does significantly, you know, impact how you date.
The moment you feel like, no, this doesn't sit with me.
Right. And be done. And that's why I even get questions all the time where people are like, oh my God, like, you know, I was dating this guy and how do I get him to start like taking me out and doing things? And I'm like, what do you mean? How you start, you should have started, you know, that with that being the standard because he already got with you and everything. What reason does he have now to start taking you out to dinner, start doing all these things when he didn't have to do that in the beginning? It just doesn't make any sense, you know? So you have to really like, be willing to walk away from things that simply just don't serve you. It takes a lot of strength and it's a practice. You know what I mean? But it has to be done. Otherwise, the only person that you're really hurting is just yourself, you know? And I think after a while, it really just gets annoying. And that's where you get people that become super jaded and they're victims. Oh, this is why I don't date. Oh, this is why that, because you're not really taking inventory and actually learning. You're just doing the same thing over and over again. And then you're so surprised that it turned out to be the same difference, essentially.
I'm glad you said that, the whole like pointing the finger thing, because I've hung out with you enough. You are very self-aware and you also take great inventory of your own decisions. And that's hard to get to with a lot of people because a lot of people, they're like, I'm perfectly fine. It's their fault. I didn't make a mistake. They fooled me. You're very honest about your own flaws and your own mistakes, and you own up to stuff very easy, which I think helps you have this mindset where you can be so strong and so powerful and so confident. And one of your videos that I really like was the one about being emotionally detached. And I think you did a few, you did emotionally detached and how not to be so emotional and be more logical.
Yes.
And you've kind of damn near mastered the art of being more logical than emotional. And how did you become that way?
That's a great question. I think for me, because I'm able to be very self-reflective, I realized, okay, I do not want to, you know, do the same things over and over again and not learn from them. I realized that taking out the time to, you know, take inventory of what worked and what didn't work is what made me wiser, what made me more resilient, what made me more, you know, stronger and really changed my perception, especially when I realized I did not want to feel what I felt when I was with that individual. Because up until I met him, I never have been heartbroken really, or anything that really like kind of hurt and tore at me emotionally. And that situation really was the catalyst of me waking up and realizing, all right, I need to be realistic here. I said to this guy once, I was like, well, I don't want to be played. And like, I'm tired of playing games. And he was kind of like, well, why are we talking about this right now? And in my head at the time, I'm like, oh, well, he's still engaging with me and talking to me. So at least he knows where I stand. And I, for some reason, justified that in my head as he's not going to play games with me because I told him I don't want to play games.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, that is not at all what, you know, it turned out to be. And also, he was vocalizing to me like, listen, that is not the type of time that I'm on. But in my head, it meant something different because I just said it. I realized, all right, I have to take accountability for what I did wrong so that I don't make that mistake again. And I'm not a victim, you understand? Mm-hmm. And having that victim mentality is only going to hurt you because you're just going to cycle. You become who hurt you times two, you know? So it's like, for me, I really wanted to make sure that I wasn't putting myself in a position where I am, you know, just doing the same case, different face. I didn't want to do that anymore. And even in one of your like articles, you said that a lot of the times what's familiar, what we look for that's familiar in other guys is sometimes what's dangerous, because what we are finding familiar in them is things that, you know, we should like avoid, kind of, you know what I mean? And that really did resonate with me and stuck with me, where I'm like, all right, now I assess when I meet someone, if they do come across to me as familiar, what specifically is that that's coming across familiar? Because I don't want to repeat that mistake again. And I think it really takes you to hit a little bit of rock bottom for you to be like, I really don't, if you really don't want to feel something again, you need to put in the work to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I was very serious and dedicated to it, and it really paid off, you know?
I love it. Early dating problems, like when you first start with somebody, can be avoided if you're like, okay, like you said, what is it about them that I'm attracted to? Mm-hmm. What do they want from me? What's their agenda?
Yes.
Okay, what do we have? It's like, you got to always be talking to yourself. And I think a lot of times, instead of talking to yourself, asking these logical questions, it's all emotions of like you said earlier, like, oh, how does my name sound with his last name if we get married? And oh, should we live in this part of the city? It's like all these fantasy thoughts start to run through your head and they take over you. And you're not thinking about like, wait, do I like this guy? Does he like me?
Right.
What's actually going on here? Am I repeating the mistakes of the past I did with X, Y, and Z back in the day? None of that goes to your mind when you're in swept up in what you think is love, but it's all only lust or potential. Yes,
exactly. And it's really the easiest, you know, the right answer is always usually the easiest one, right? Or the most simplest one. And I think everything feels so different to us when we're in it. Oh, but this situation is different. And it's like, but if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. Anytime there's confusion and chaos, it's a breeding ground for deception. Mm. You should really take note of that. Because if something is, someone's already confusing you and you already find yourself, you know, trying to figure out with your friends, he did this. Take note of those things, because there's a reason why you're clocking those things. It's not for you to unconvince yourself. Maybe I was just over-exaggerating, because that's your ego trying to tell you, no, like, just stay in it. It's not that bad, whatever the case is. And it's like, we can't have that sort of fear-based perspective as it pertains to dating. We can't.
You're definitely a student of the game, but also a very independent thinker. And I think, I know when you get married, he's going to be the most amazing guy and you're going to have the most amazing life, because you know how to vet properly. You know what you're doing out there. But one of the things I think is really going to help you, because you believe in dating multiple men, and you have a video on your channel that everyone should go watch after this called Roster Dating. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you got a lot of flack for that video, because women, as soon as you say date multiple men, it's like, oh, I got to be a hoe. You want me to go ahead fucking everybody? It's like, who said anything about sex?
Yes, exactly.
Roster dating isn't sex.
Exactly. And that just goes to show that a lot of them are sleeping with the guys that they're dating, right?
Ooh, you said it not me.
Yeah. So they just, a lot of them tell on themselves and they don't even realize it. And I'm still getting flack, like up until literally today, like every day I get comments on that video. And I can always tell when some people, they can only meet you as deep as they've met themselves. And that is very deep for some, right? So it's like, some people will take my content and completely think that it means something else. So I will, the consistent comment that is the misconception is, did she just say to date multiple people? Isn't that cheating? And I've said time and time again, and I'm honestly done saying it, that dating multiple people is not cheating, because who told you that you were in a relationship? See, that's your problem. Is that you're acting like you're in a relationship and you're not. And this guy is doing whatever he's doing. And then someone else was like, well, dating multiple people doesn't mean that you're still not going to have feelings for one. And to that I say, okay, but at least you're not putting that pressure on one individual, like waiting for their text and doing all these things. How you conduct yourself in these types of situations is honestly how you're going to be able to preserve yourself. You know, some people cannot, you know, they have to exercise that muscle of, you know, strength to not put all their eggs in one basket. They're waiting for that text from that one guy. They're putting everything onto that person. They don't have that resilience to separate. All right, if I talk to one individual, I'm not going to attach myself to them, because you don't have other options. You're not vetting whether or not, you know, that person is like, you know, really worthy of your time. You're not vetting whether or not that, you know, amongst other prospects, especially, because that's the best way to do it. And believe it or not, yes, men do, you know, do things like that. That's how the process works. And that's how they're able to, especially easily, you know, detach from certain situations because they weren't really that invested. So it's more of a self-preservation thing to avoid yourself from getting so wrapped up in, you know, one individual. You're just simply keeping your options open until that one individual proves, you know, that they are worthy of, you know, an exclusive, you know, dynamic. And that's a mutual decision and not one that you're making on your own. And nobody said that you should be sleeping with all the people that you're talking to. I don't know where that ever even came from, nor has that ever left my mouth. But yes, I absolutely do advocate for that, because that's one of the things that really saved me. I think I was definitely, you know, I grew up very sheltered. I was one of those girls. I was like, oh, like, I'm only going to talk to one person. It was also very difficult for me to talk to multiple people because I had it in my head. Well, I only like one person. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, and it feels wrong initially. Like, it's so interesting. Like, from a woman's perspective, it genuinely feels wrong. Like, for some reason, you really feel like you are cheating. Like, you feel like you're doing something so like sinister. And again, it's a muscle I had to practice. And I'm like, but I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not promising someone something and being deceptive in any capacity. It's just, I'm simply vetting and covering my basis. And that's all that I'm doing. This is so that I'm able to come from a logical standpoint and assess, all right, what is this person's true intentions and what is it looking like kind of across the board, whatever the case is. And having a roster is arbitrary to you. That could be two people, that could be three people. No one is saying you got to have a laundry list of, you know, of things. And when you're not dating, hey, take the time to actually have solitude, because that's another issue a lot of people have. They always got to be talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. They always have to be entertaining somebody. Like, no, like, your solitude is very, very important. When you date, you date. When you don't, you don't.
You're out here falling in love with these people by default, because there are no other options around. And if you fall in love by default, what if the feeling's not mutual?
Exactly. Exactly. What
if that person's dating three people, you're only dating them, and then you have this decision like, oh, where do you think this is going? It's like, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
And then know what I hate is, like, they stop talking to someone and then they write me saying, oh, how did he move on so fast? I was checking his page and he has a whole girlfriend. I'm like, ma'am, you don't think he was dating that girl while he was dating you?
Exactly. And
he chose. You're not choosing. He chose. Mm-hmm. Out of the three people on his roster, you fell off. Some other girl probably wasn't the one. She's the last woman standing. That's my bae. I'm going to post her on my page. Now you're lurking there feeling hurt.
Exactly.
He did want a relationship, but it wasn't with you. But if you were roster dating too, like, okay, I can pick up on the vibe that you don't want me like that, because exactly. I got another man that's doing way more than you're doing and putting that energy in me that you're not doing. So there is a disconnect. And you can only do that through roster dating. You got to compare and contrast.
Exactly. Exactly. And having that focus on, you know, one individual in the beginning stages is, especially like, the less busy that you are, you know, the more bored you are and you have time on your hands, you're going to put a lot of, you know, place a lot of emphasis and read into things that you normally would glance over if you had more, you know, options, also more of, you know, an active everyday life. I think that's another thing that kind of needs to be, you know, addressed, is people need to have like actual things to do and a fulfilling, you know, even friend life is very, you know, nice. And I feel like for me, you know, I'm at that point too. I've always had a very active friend life. And so for me, it's like, when I'm dating somebody, how do they fit into my schedule? Because I really do have things to do. I'm not trying to not respond to you and do all these things. It's effortless, where I naturally play the game effortlessly because one, my mindset and mentality, and two, I really am doing things. So I don't have all day to be like, why isn't he texting me? Like, you know what I mean? I don't have that time. And again, like the less, you know, active your life is and fulfilled in other ways that your life is, the more you place emphasis on romantic dynamics. Everything is really always a lesson, you know, if it's not a blessing, but the best time to, you know, best space to be in when it comes to dating is when you're really genuinely not looking. And to come to that place is almost like an involuntary decision. It's not like, I'm going to choose that I'm not going to date and I'm just going to do this. It's like, it kind of just, it happens. It's a natural like flow of life where you just don't really place emphasis on the same things that you once did. And it's like, I don't know. And it feels really good to like be in that place, because otherwise it's like being done out of force, and anything you got is sustainable.
It's that organic mindset. Like I love that so much, is when you let go. And I hate these things where like, I'm going to give up dating for 3 months. So I'm not going to, it's like, why are you forcing rules onto yourself that's unnatural and you're not going to stick to? It's kind of like when people say, well, I'm going to go on the diet for the next diet. It's like, you're forcing yourself to do something that you're not going to stick to, and it's going to not work because you're putting too much force towards something that you don't really want to do. And with dating, it's like, okay, if people fall off the board and you're not talking to anybody, like you said, you're not dating, it is what it is. Let me go over here and focus on this stuff. Don't make a declaration, I'm done dating. Just relax, go live life. And oh my God, look who just popped up trying to take you out on a date.
Yes. And every guy that you meet does not have to be the one. Oh, well, why did he come into my life if he was going to do this, do that? Like, it's like, relax. Like every guy, every experience that I've had, I've taken what it is that I could learn. Not every situation there really was anything significant to learn, but you know, it is what it is. And I move on, and you know, and I'm smarter and wiser in the next situation. But I think that, again, it just boils down to where some people feel like, oh my God, if you're in my life and we're talking, then like, where's this going to go? Because it has to go somewhere, you know, and energy and things like that, people can feel, and like that pressure, it's like, I didn't even do anything. I didn't even say anything, but sometimes people could feel that energy, and men can very much sense desperate energy, a lot of pressure. You don't have to say anything, but like the energy in the room speaks for itself. I can feel like you're a very intense person. Like we know what it is that you want, which is all the more reason why sometimes, you know, you don't have to say certain things, because some guys, they already know what it is. Like usually guys know that a woman's goal is to be in a relationship, usually, stereotypically. So they know what's up. So it's really just, it depends on where they're at in their life. That's going to make them, you know, want to commit and things like that.
There you go. And I think like it's so cool to what you're doing in your channel, because you know, I write a lot about a lot of things, but like coming from a woman who's actually going through it in the trenches is undeniable game that you can soak up. You don't preach down to people. You're like, okay, I'm here with you. This is what I've learned. This is how I do it. I even like that quote, if it's not a blessing, it's a lesson. That's a great mindset to have. One of the best things about your channel, and I think a lot of women who are listening to this can probably really, really use you when it comes to this. There's this big debate about how to be more feminine. What do you do to be more softer and this and that? It's like, I didn't know it was this big of a world until like I started getting questioned. Like, lady, I can't teach you I could teach you how men think. I could teach you how to play the game. I could teach you how to get a Chanel bag in a month, but I can't teach you how to be more feminine on that level. And I think your channel really does a great job of that. One video, we talked about like feminine hygiene. You're like, ladies, you don't take a shower, you can get a UTI. I was like, what the fuck? I was dying. I'm like, wait, it's a lot of women out here that don't know how to properly shower and hygiene. I'm like, thank God for that channel. It's like, please teach them how to smell good and look good and feel good, because that's one of the things I think as men, we are naturally the way you look, the way you smell, the way you dress. Even in one of your videos, you're talking about like, yeah, if I'm rocking this with the cleavage out, I'm not going to wear a short skirt because you got to have balance. I'm like, damn, I never thought about that. But it's true, because our eyes go to one. You can't overdo it.
Yeah.
Like you're giving us a whole different signal if you just walk with the everything's out. It's like, whoa, I know what you're selling. But like to keep it classy and feminine, you have a lot of great tips about like what to wear, what to do, what the, and then you give products that they can use to make their thing smell good and all this other stuff. So that's great. Are you going to do more stuff like that on your channel?
Definitely. I do want to embrace that more, that type of content. I do feel like in general, like that is more the feminine care side, self-care side of things. I do know in general, femininity, especially in the beginning of my channel, like being classy and sophisticated is something that's very, you know, huge. I remember at one point people were like, oh my gosh, can you teach me how to talk like you? And I was like, I'm still perplexed by the question because this is my real voice. And it's interesting because that's actually what initially was the catalyst of me starting a podcast was I would get a lot of compliments on my voice. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, if people like to listen to me, then I'll do it. Like, you know, but I don't know how to tell people necessarily how to speak. A lot of our behaviors are behavioral. So we like to attribute that to whether that's going to be, you know, masculine or feminine. Like some people think, oh, if you talk with your hands a lot, that could be masculine to another person. Or if you know what I mean? I think everything is about delivery and being present is like the number one thing of being feminine. Being very present allows you to assess things from a very, you know, sane, you know, stable type of place. I think naturally as it pertains to femininity and masculinity, it's all behavioral. And these things have to also be kind of, you know, organic to you. And it does really depend on your upbringing. You can adapt these things. Of course, they're not like, you know, unachievable, but depending on how you were raised and what you've seen, some people they're hyper vigilant on being very, you know, independent and dominant because maybe they grew up in a household where it was a single parent household and they were used to seeing their mom as a strong, you know, person. So they have this like extremely dominant, no man is going to tell me what to do. Why? Because truthfully, their fathers were absent. So to them, subconsciously, a man telling them what to do is like, no one's gonna tell me what to do when my own dad wasn't even there to tell me what to do. And so it takes some understanding of that, you know, on a deeper level to be able to unleash the natural femininity of a woman because it is natural and it is in all of us. And it kind of goes back to even like Jeannie Mai and Young Jeezy. Mm-hmm. They're married. So when she was in her first marriage, Jeannie Mai, she didn't want kids. Her dynamic was completely different. It was almost like a partnership. Then she meets Young Jeezy. She all of a sudden wants kids. She like her entire demeanor has completely changed because she felt safe to really, you know, tap into that and be that. And
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it's kind of controversial, honestly, what I'm about to say. But I remember there was this that Kevin guy who was saying, some girl was saying, you know, I feel I will be able to tap into that femininity more when, you know, I feel safe. Because for some women, that is what it takes. For some, you know, for others, it's always, it's on, it's very natural. But that Kevin guy was saying, if you're a woman, you should be feminine naturally. So you mean to tell me that you turn it off and on for whoever it is that you want? And I feel like he wasn't really understanding that for some women, depending on their environment, like it's not as natural to them to be able to tap into that because it's environmental and it's behavioral. So you just telling them to like be something is like, think about how hard it is to change your favorite color for yourself. Yeah. And now you're trying to tell someone that they're wrong for kind of naturally being how they, you know, how they are instead of maybe approaching it from the standpoint of, okay, well, this is why you may have been this way. What is it that makes you feel safe so you could tap into that and you can unleash that? That's what we want to know. You know what I mean? And if somebody was raised a certain way and you're trying to introduce a brand new behavior to them, you have to get them to understand where that's coming from so that they know how to tap into that other side of them if it's a desire of theirs, if that makes sense.
I love everything you just said because it's, I think like Kevin Samuels probably made that statement because he's ignorant to the way women work inside. That's why like I don't really touch on that stuff because I'm never going to speak on something I have no clue on. Like I would never fake the funk with anybody. Like I don't fucking know. I'm look at Aisha's video, she knows. But the thing, I think he didn't understand, like, why are some women naturally feminine and why are others, like, it takes a young Jeezy to bring it out on them. So, like, is it a light switch? Like, no, what you just said so eloquently was that you don't know it's the environment, it's behavioral. It's like, it's you never know what's going to come out until you feel safe, secure, and it comes out naturally for some women. You should really consider being, like, a high-maintenance femininity coach. You ooze high maintenance, you ooze confidence. And just the way you talk, I think people, I mean, I've told you I like your voice a million times. And I'm like, it's the way, it's the inflection in your voice. It's like the way you can go up and down, not even write about this in the whole tactics books, the gimmicks of like using your voice, you do naturally without even having any, you're not even trying to do that. It's just who you are. You naturally go, it can get high and like, you kind of sound like Nicki Minaj when you get like excited and then like really soft and you're like, yeah, really? As a man, you melt when you hear that type of voice. Like that voice is definitely a weapon and you do it naturally, but I think you're aware of it enough where you could teach women certain things and how to say it. And so I think like, you definitely should do some courses or even some one-on-one coaching for, high maintenance training, because I think you're a high, it's not even about high value, you're a goddess. And I think like women should strive to become, all women are goddesses, they just don't know how to unlock it. And I think with another woman specifically telling them, look, this is where this comes from, this is where that masculine energy is coming from, this is why you act this way. I'm not trying to beat that out of you, I can't change who you are, but here's some things to think about in terms of like why you're acting that way and what you're projecting the men on these dates or on these apps or however you meet these guys, that is probably shooting you in your foot. They would have so much more success if they understood like, okay, everything GL writes about mindset is right, but the other key is making sure your Spartan armor, the way you look, the way you sound, the way you're projecting yourself is also showing what it needs to show.
So I feel like people would be interested in that from me. So I'm definitely going to look into it. I think when something comes so natural to you, it almost feels mechanical for me to think like, why do I say certain things a certain way? And so I don't know. Like I genuinely don't know, but I feel like, yeah, you're right. I probably am onto something here because I honestly get this. I've gotten this all my life. I remember one day I was in a restaurant like a bar and I was talking to my friends and this random lady goes, sorry, I really didn't mean to butt into your conversation, but your voice is like really nice. You should look into like, you know, doing some like on like, I don't know, audio type of stuff or voiceovers and things like that. And
it's funny. Remember when we're in Midtown Manhattan, we're walking down the street. I think we just got out the Uber or some shit. And you're talking to me and then someone was like, oh my God, Aisha. I'm like, that was a friend of yours. A woman that watched your channel, a fan, just like, she was like on a date with like her sugar daddy or something. She
literally.
Like, I can take a picture with you. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I said, I was like, gee, I did not plan this. Like literally at all like that. And mind you, I haven't been to the city at all. Literally. And so I'm like, well, that is crazy to me that I literally just stepped foot outside of the Uber in the city and literally my subscriber's right there. Yeah, she's from Boston, that girl. We ended up DMing a couple times and stuff. So if I'm ever in Boston, maybe she'll show me around and stuff. But it's like things like that that really do like matter to me, like my connection with my subscribers and building this very strong, you know, community where people can feel transparent enough or vulnerable enough, I should say, to tell me what it is that's going on. And even though I do offer tough love advice, I'm not condescending and I'm not going to be like, well, you're dumb for doing, I'm never going to approach it from that, you know, standpoint. As long as you're coming, you know, eager, heart open, willing to learn, then we can get something accomplished.
There you go. So with that said, how can people connect with you? Give them your Instagram, your YouTube. Tell them how they can connect more with Aisha Christina Foster.
Okay. So on Instagram, my at name is Aisha Christina Foster, my entire government. And on YouTube, my name is Aisha Christina. I do have a TikTok, but I don't really upload to it, you know, really super often. But more importantly, my podcast is called Quality Queen Control. And it's on all places where podcasts are streaming. So you guys can check that out. Spotify, Apple, Amazon, everywhere. You guys can look that up. So yes, that's how you guys nice. Can get in touch with me.
And if you want to work on your voice inflection and you want to get your sugar baby on for the summer, go to Aisha. Like, Aisha, I got this man. How sound more sexy? She'll help you out with that.
Yes.
Well, no, I'm so happy you came on. This has been a treat and a pleasure. And like, you know,
long time coming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Long time coming, and it won't be the last time. And make sure you go subscribe to her channel, her podcast, and, you know, stay connected with her. And don't be afraid, because she is very nice. She'll actually respond to your DMs.
Yes, I will. Promise.
All right. Well, thanks, Aisha.
Thank you.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.